The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. What strikes one about this theophany, this appearance of Yahweh to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre, is its ordinariness. Yahweh and two angels come to Abraham while he was in his tent. They looked and talked and ate like three ordinary men, and they ate with Abraham. While that was ordinary, what was extraordinary was the promise that Yahweh made to Abraham in the context of that meal. I will surely return to you in the spring, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have this pleasure? Her action or reaction did not please Yahweh. Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for Yahweh? At the appointed time, I will return to you in spring, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was not the first to laugh at Yahweh's promises, nor has she been the last. That is the natural reaction of fallen man, indeed the old Adam in all of us, to God appearing in human form, speaking in human language, and making extraordinary promises. But you and I know the rest of the story, don't we? Yahweh had the last laugh as he did return and brought about conception in the barren womb of Sarah, from which Isaac was born. The laugh of Sarah's doubt was turned into joyous faith of a promise delivered, and a promise who was the future of a nation and the hope of the world, who would be delivered from Isaac's seed. Yahweh, who sat in the tent, who ate with Abraham and made this promise, is the very one who in the fullness of time kept the promise that he himself would be born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. Many of his promises, no doubt, were met with the laugh of unbelief, especially his promises about resurrection. The Son of Man must suffer, die, and on the third day be raised. An extraordinary promise was delivered that first Easter. And his promise was not only about his resurrection, but also ours. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth. It was hard to believe that this flesh and blood man standing before them could make such a promise. Jesus said to some of the doubting offspring of Abraham, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. And they laughed and said, but you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham. Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. The eternal Yahweh who spoke to Abraham was none other than the Son who was now in flesh speaking to these Jews. The Genesis narrative reminds us that Abraham was no young, virile man. Yet he trusted Yahweh's extraordinary promise about giving him a son. The Apostle Paul tells us that this account of Genesis was written for us, for the church, so that we also trust the promises of him who came in his son and who was raised for our justification. Handed over for our trespasses, raised for our justification. Romans 4 reads as follows. In hope against hope, he believed in order that he become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore also it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was reckoned to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered up for our transgressions and was raised for our justification. Just as Abraham believed that Yahweh could bring a child from the dead womb of Sarah, his wife, so we believe the promise that the risen Jesus will raise our dead bodies in glory from our tombs. While the world laughs in doubt, the church rejoices in hope, confidently trusting Yahweh's words. After all, is anything too hard for Yahweh? Early in my ministry, I remember visiting the Traverse City Psychiatric Hospital. Back in the mid-80s, all these state hospitals were being downsized, and this one was no different. Huge complex being downsized, only about 200 patients left. But I remember walking in there as a young pastor, all these closed, locked wards, and I had to visit with this Lutheran who was there, and I had to celebrate the sacrament in one of these open day rooms. So as I was off to the side celebrating the sacrament, many other patients kind of wandering around in that room, rather catatonic state, rather spooky. I remember visiting Catherine one day, and I was well into the Holy Communion service, and a very outwardly appearing catatonic patient came over to our table where we were celebrating the sacrament. She raised her head, looked at me, laughed, and she said, "Jesus is dead. His bones are rotting in the grave." Now, my pastoral practice class hadn't ever prepared me for what I should say. So after about a 10-second pause, I said, "No," rather calmly, "Jesus is alive. He's risen from the grave. And his risen flesh and blood is right here on this table, just as he promised." She quietly turned away, walked, and resumed that rather catatonic state. Is anything too hard for Yahweh? Extraordinary promises. "This is my flesh. This is my blood." While the world laughs in doubt, we trust the promises of him who ate and drank with Abraham, who talks and eats with us yet today, of him who brought life from the dead womb of Sarah, and whose short 3-day stay in the tomb means that he too will change our lowly bodies of dust, so that they will be like unto his glorious body. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Amen.